And welcome back to Success Made Last. I'm Rick Tokini. The show is brought to you by Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards. Visit their website today at gracefully-yours.com to buy your favorite encouragement and birthday cards. And boy, we need a lot of encouragement now these days. Millions of you are struggling in the midst of this pandemic to see the story that is being written in your lives. What's your greater purpose, the bigger picture? Loved ones and dreams have been lost or even put on hold. Hey, on today's show is Joe Camp. He knows the story better than most, so we hope that you enjoy this exclusive interview with Joe. He's the creator of the most famous movie dog of all time, Benji, and he was rejected by every single major studio in 1974. He went on to produce Benji himself. He got distribution on his own, and his Benji movies were called the all-time favorite movie dog by Variety magazine. Joe is here to talk to us today about his newest book, God Only Knows, that's out this May of 2020. Joe, welcome to Success Made to Last.
I'm happy to be here and happy to tell you what I know.
Well, excellent. I think, Joe, you provide a real encouraging voice to our national audience at this during these unprecedented times. And tell us about why you have written this book in this particular time and stage and age of your life.
Well, it wasn't planned, actually, but as I went through my life, so to speak, and especially that first Benji movie, really began to open my eyes to the fact that all of the problems that come up in our life and the devastations that, you know, I had several that I thought were, you know, the end of life as I know it. And I began to see over time that all of those things had to happen exactly as God orchestrated them, or we wouldn't be having this phone call today. There would have never probably been a Benji. And the more I realized this and began to see the pattern and the strategy of it all, the more attention I began to pay, you know, to it. And I felt like that coming out of all of this, that, you know, I'm certain beyond that, you know, God planted that passion in my heart. And then he used it to make an extraordinary life for me. And I believe that can happen for anybody who pays attention. All you have to do is not quit. You know, you just keep. Okay, I can't go to UCLA because they turned me down. I'll try another route. And you know, and when all of Hollywood turned down the movie after it was made, that original Benji movie, you know, I was, you know, on the floor when we went back to Dallas, and what are we going to do now? Throw it in the trash or figure it out? And we chose the latter and figured it out, and apparently figured it out pretty well. We, you know, the investor, our chief investor, who had raised the money for the movie, and I went back and I said, what we need to do is we need to do our own distribution and start a distribution company. And he said, wait a minute, you know, you got me to go out and raise money for a movie that you've never made before, and you did such a great job with it that nobody wants to distribute it, and now you want me to go out and raise more money to form a distribution company so that you can go out and do something else that you've never done before. And I said, yeah, that's about it.
That's the size of it.
And he did. And we had a whole new school to go to try to figure out what and how, and the reality is that we did it, despite the fact that all of the major studios in Hollywood turned it down in its finished form. 18 months or so later, Variety reported that Benji had the number 3 gross of the entire summer, And I think that's there and available to any and everybody. And like I said, you know, the only thing that, the only two things that we did, I guess, that stand out a lot is, number one is we said no more than we said yes. You know, mm-hmm. We never reached the point where we were saying, well, this is as good as I can make it, so let's just go with what we got. We did it when it was right, we said yes, and when it was wrong, we said no most of the time. And we didn't quit. We kept on going. And, you know, the rules that I've read everywhere is that you can never fail until you quit. And we chose not to quit. So we kept going and it all came to fruition for us. And it's something that I got to the point where I could not pay attention to it. I had to pay attention to it and to really put the pieces together and try to get them out there to do some good for other folks.
And it seems like now in retrospect, this being the time when way before internet and way before people were creating their own films and distributing them, that you are up against the odds and you didn't let the odds beat you. And to that end, what do you have to say to our listening audience about, you may have your dreams put on hold today because of this pandemic or some other reason, but why should they remain encouraged and focused, because God may have a greater plan for them?
That's the answer right there, because God does have a greater plan for them. All they got to do is stay with it and, you know, and not give up. Because that's basically all we did is, you know, when he shut one door, we found another, and until we got into the right path. And I think so many people think that, you know, big miseries and you know, terrible disasters and all of that are the end of the story, and they don't keep going despite all of that. And there's an old story, if you got a second, that came out of Australia, where the Aborigines, a lot of them are rainmakers, and the farmers and the landowners down there depend on them a lot. They get these teams to come out to their place and try to make rain when they don't get any. And parts of mm-hmm. Australia don't get a lot of rain. And this guy heard about one in particular that was batting 1,000. He never failed. And so he went looking for this particular tribe, found it, and got an audience with the king of the tribe. And he walked in, he said, I understand, I appreciate you taking this meeting, but I understand that you guys never fail to make rain. Is that true? And the king said, yes, it is. He said, how do you do that? How in the world do you do that? And the king just smiled at him and said, we don't quit till it rains. And I've always thought that is the perfect, I mean, he had it wired, you know. And, you know, he might be there for a year, but he's not going to quit till it rains. So he's successful 100% of the time. And that's the way you ought to look at these things, because all of these miseries that you think are obstacles or doors that are shut or this, that, and the other, are merely God getting you ready for what's coming. Giving mm-hmm. you the stuff. I mean, I he was never going to let me get into Hollywood. I mean, that was, I finally realized when I was looking back and putting all the pieces of this together that was the big no-no. That he said, I have this plan for you, and it doesn't involve Hollywood. Because you'll get out there and get messed up and wind up. And what we were trying to do in the beginning, myself and two other guys were writing, and writing television comedy and trying to break into the business through television comedy, and doing some pretty phenomenal things, and that's, these stories are all in the book, God only knows, and they all led somewhere, and they all gave me something, you know, educationally or motivationally that I needed to keep going. But we would get right to the end and have a show. Oh, you're on the way this time. You're gonna get screen credits. You're gonna get, you know, you guys are gonna be great. And boom, right at the last minute, something would come up and it'd go off the rails and it didn't happen. We had that happen, you know, numerous times. And each time when it happened, I was really frustrated, and I even began to say, well, I wonder if this is the route that we're supposed to be taking. But one of the guys, a fellow by the name of Danny Arnold, who was producing That Girl at the time, and then went on to have a couple of his own shows that you know, he won awards for, and then went on forever and were just great. But he was the producer of That Girl. We had gotten in his door and had written a script on spec for That Girl. And when he finally called me one day and said, hey, this is Danny Arnold. I'm producer of That Girl. And you got people all over this town that are coming to me and driving me crazy to get you guys out there and to do something. And so I want you to get on a plane and come on. We'll figure it out. And that was our introduction to him. And when we got in, went into his office, he reached down on the floor. His office was a mess. You can imagine, it's just crud everywhere, and scripts and books and stuff. And traditionally, Hollywood, you know, always does this. The couch that we were sitting on was one of these soft sink to the floor kind of couches.
Oh, yeah.
While he was, you know, 3 inches higher than we were on the thing. And oddly enough, I was making note of things like that instead of paying attention. But he put this big style pack of stuff on the desk, and it was all our stuff that people had sent him, you know, other producers in town, and one lady, William Morris, that was helping us. And she, he pulled out That Girl script. He said, I want to tell you, I've read this, and I've read several of your others, and you guys are great writers. You do wonderful dialogue. You capture the characters better than most of the people I have to work with out here. But your story structure sucks. So that was our introduction to Danny Arnold. And when we left that project, it was going to be a go that turned out not to be a go after all. And that's all also laid out in the book. But the point of it was that he had taught me to write.
Mm-hmm.
And he, probably as much as any other individual has responsibility for Benji. Because to take something as simple as the story of this dog's struggle and make people emotionally care about it as much as the dog does. And if you look back through some of your favorite movies, they're not about save the world and save space and all these big, fantastic things. They're introducing you to somebody somewhere that has a problem that you get involved with and start pulling for them and wind up liking the experience very much. And that's what he taught me to be able to do, and that's what Benji is. It's a simple little dog struggle to try to convince humans that didn't want him around that he could help, and he had no way to do that. He had no way to convince them of that, and that's, I think, why it's still there today, because when you experience it, I mean, in effect, Benji was a three-dimensional character in that movie. He was acting on the screen. He was pulling you in and telling you the story with his emotions and his feelings and what, you know, what happened with that movie. And so when people ask me about, you know, compare Lassie and Benji, and I always say, you know, in my experience. People like Lassie, but people love Benji.
There you go.
Because
it's a big difference.
They have been through that experience with this dog and have been pulling for him. And before it's over with, this is the biggest problem in the world for the audience and for the dog. And when he begins to solve it, it breaks it open, and you have a really, really happy tears kind of ending. And and people remember, the movie. They don't remember why they liked it or loved it, but they do remember because of that fact. And that's, had I not landed totally without any, effort on my part in Danny Arnold's office, I mean, that just happened kind of over the transom because of an experience we had with a producer on the Jerry Van Dyke series and this agent that had kind of taken up our cause without actually signing us up, and a couple of other producers. And I don't know if you remember James Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Done great, great, great movies. And he was a story consultant on this one over with Jerry Van Dyke. And we learned from him. We learned from other people, but who I really learned the most from was Danny Arnold, and he, like I said, is probably as responsible as anybody for Benji, because he's the one that taught me to take a story and teach people to care about it.
Yeah, and it shows. I mean, I remember, Joe, going to the movie in 1974. And actually, whenever it came out, and we were lost in that movie for the couple of hours, and it was, you came out loving Benji, and you forgot about everything else, all the other troubles that were going on in your world, and so you pulled it off. But I've got to ask this final question of you. There's got to be Danny Arnold's in the lives of our listeners out there, who they need to find the proverbial Danny Arnold to give them a break, crack the door open, take the time to mentor them. What can you tell our listening audience today about trying to find their Danny Arnold?
Well, I think it's, I don't see it as okay, there's a Danny Arnold out there for me, I got to go find him. No, I got to do the best job I can do of the work that I'm doing at the time that I'm doing it. And when that doesn't work out, what door is going to open and how quickly am I going to run through it? Because there might be the next thing. And I think it goes, I don't think I've ever been asked it in quite that way. And so I'm stumbling around a little bit, but I believe that the quality of work, I have met people who, well, this is what I want to do. This is my dream. I want to go over here. But I'm over here right now, and it sucks, and so I'm not going to do a good job. And I'm not paying attention to it, and I'm not learning about it. Learn everything you can learn. Always learn. Always have your brain open. And take every experience with this route and apply it to the next route. Because that's what it's being put there for, is to make you better at all kinds of various things. And not just, I hate to think if, the door to Benji opened before any of this other stuff had happened, it would have been a mess.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what I knew when I finally came time to pull the curtain and do it. And I think focusing at the current time and seeing what you can do to direct it in the direction that you want to go, but take the opportunity to learn everything that it has to teach you and to store it and use it and to do the best work that you can at any given point in time.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping you would say, because the way we view this is it's not an individual like a Danny Arnold. It is the layering of wisdom and God preparing you to become the best version of you at the right time. So right. It wasn't about your timing. It was
exactly.
God's timing for Benji. So
exactly
isn't that the essence of your book?
That is. It truly is. And it happened more than just, you know, with Benji and how we got into horses and best-selling horse, you know, book about how horses should live and stuff like that. All of that carries with it the same, what you just said. You know, that is the answer to it all, is to know that you are being groomed and to absorb every minute of it that you can and to exploit it and use it, focused on doing it well.
You got it. I think God Only Knows is the best version of Joe Camp. And in 2009, when you had Soul of a Horse, that at that time was the best version of Joe Camp. And now you're just a better, stronger, wiser person. And God has brought you along that path the entire time.
That's true. That is absolutely the truth. And that's the essence of the whole thing. And that's available to everybody, to anybody. And that's what you need to wake up and do. And don't consider every obstacle, you know, an honest to God obstacle. It's just the next step.
That's right. Joe, thank you so much for being on our show today. Where can our listeners purchase God Only Knows?
God Only Knows is currently available for pre-order on Amazon. And for that pre-order period, our publicist came up with this idea, and I have to pay for it. But we are during the pre-order period, anybody that orders through the pre-order, the book gets 4 Benji movies, all remastered in high definition and widescreen and all of that for
wow.
free.
And
the way that's going to work is when Amazon sends you the receipt for the order, you just email it to Nancy@Benji.com and we'll take care of the rest and get the movies to you. But, if you haven't seen any of them in high definition, remastered and everything, and you liked it in the first place, you ought to give it a try because they are gorgeous now. And so tired of looking at the, you know, the 3:2 TV screen version of what we transferred from film because there was no widescreen or anything back in those days. And 74 mm-hmm. is right, by the way. That was what we facetiously call our testing year.
Okay.
And it was, where did you live?
Sherman, Texas.
Yeah, yeah. We were in Dallas and doing it all from Dallas. And, you know, our first theater engagement ever was the one in North Park.
Of course.
North Park 1 and 2. And it was
yep.
the best theater in town, which we needed because nobody knew who we were or what we were doing, except in Dallas. They did because we had been there making the movie for a year. And
North Park was very special.
Yeah. That's a whole another 30 minutes for me.
We need to have you back on again because you really are emblematic of the perfect best version author and person who's persevered. And boy, it's kind of in God's greater plan that you're here to talk to our audience today. So we really appreciate you. What an encouraging, inspirational person you are. Thank you, Joe, for being on our show today.
Thank you, Rick. And, you know, anytime, you know, I love what you're doing. And are you still in Texas?
We are now based in Austin, Texas. So we're back from Colorado after 25 years and down here in the beautiful part of Texas.
There you go. When we moved out of L.A., you know, or what I call escaping Texifornia, we looked from Texas all the way over to here, and it was in the 2008 recession, and Texas didn't know that was going on.
Of course,
it was the only self-sufficient state in the whole country, so we wound up in Tennessee instead. But anyway, do call anytime. I'm more than happy to do these things.
Well, thank you, Joe. We'll be back in touch with you. That was Joe Camp, creator of the Benji series, and he is debuting God Only Knows. It's coming out from Elm Hill Press next month. So, Joe, congratulations, and we'll have Joe back on again in the near future. We appreciate you all joining us on this special Success Made to Last program. And, you know, in the end, it's all about living the best version of you. Have a great week.
And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And psst, you're crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.